Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. One of my favorite passages, I must say. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today a Saviour has been born to you, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, a feed trough. Great joy for all the people, not just for the Jewish people, not just for the people of the local town. This was for all the people. We live in a world that needs joy. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for joy in my life. What is this joy? If we think of Eeyore and Tigger. Now, Eeyore has this doom and gloom focus. He's a glass half empty, and what there is in the glass is probably backwash anyway. Now, Tigger bounces through life as if nothing will ever go wrong. Tigger is our glass half full, or perhaps our glass over full. He's our overflowing guy. Sometimes I think we live with the attitude of Eeyore, wishing we could be Tigger. They are two extremes. But the biblical brand of joy is not overcoming our inner Eeyore. Nor is it ignorant bliss, even though that looks awfully good sometimes. Joy in this passage in the Greek is charon megalein. Now, megalein is mega or great. And charon comes from chara, which is joy, delight. We use it as joy, gladness, and a source of joy. This is great joy and gladness. And it's not merely happiness. That's a state of mind. Whereas joy is a mindset. Happiness comes and goes. Joy can be constant. Happiness is dependent, whereas joy is independent. And happiness is conditional. Joy is unconditional. Now, happiness and joy have this up and down scale. Problems increase and happiness goes down. Troubles go away, happiness increases. Happiness is dependent on happenings, what happens in our life. But joy is more than this. Joy is an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. Our reliable web source, Wikipedia, states that joy differs from happiness in that it is an emotion. Happiness is what we might think of as a feeling, which is more fleeting. Joy is a key theme right through the Bible. We see stories of rejoicing, including joy in the wilderness. Joy is not defined by struggle, but future destiny. Joy is about God's hope and God's freedom. And there is a joy in anticipating God's hope. We live in a world corrupted. There is death, sickness, loss, and greed. We're looking for good news. And Luke 2 tells us that this good news causes great joy. In the Philippians 4 passage that we've just heard, and we'll hear it again at the end of our service when Jan reads it to us. The verse directly before this is, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I say it again, rejoice. Now, Paul is writing this from prison to the Philippian church. He loves this church and he rejoices over its progress. And he repeatedly uses the words joy and rejoice 16 times in this short letter. And that's why it's known as the letter of joy. And yet the Philippian church is taking its share of suffering and is actually in some danger of division. Rejoice, rejoice is advice written from a man in chains, possibly facing death. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Strangely, often it becomes strongest when trouble comes. You know, this time last year I was diagnosed with cancer. Normally I would have had surgery within 30 days, but because they closed down surgery over Christmas and so forth, it was a 60-day wait for surgery. And yet, I experienced joy and peace during this time, a joy and a peace that only comes from God. I found God was in the waiting. God was in the muck. God was in the hoping and God was in the longing. Joy can be real in the darkest of circumstances. It doesn't mean that we don't express grief, because Paul certainly expressed grief and sorrow in the Bible. He wrote about loss, being full of sorrow. And yet he said to trust Jesus and rejoice. This is not about turning a frown upside down. Joy in everyday life. You know, the shepherds were going about everyday life. They were watching their animals at night. They were guarding them against animals and thieves. The shepherds were tough guys. They slept rough. They needed to stay beside their flocks on the hills, well outside human society. They had to contend with thieves and wolves, wind and cold and baking heat. They were wild men, hardened, practical, not easily ruffled. They weren't usually trusted by the general population. In fact, their reputation meant that their testimony was often considered inadmissible in a court of law. And yet, the angel came to announce the birth of the Messiah that would bring great joy. I guess these shepherds, although ready for anything, have never seen anything quite like this. The shepherds experience great joy. Now, joy can change our perspective as it changed the shepherd's perspective. The painting on the screen is called Seeing Shepherds by Daniel Bonnell. I think we're meant to notice the angels in the sky because they take up such a large part of the painting. But the two shepherds are equally amazing. They have their arms outstretched. Their heads have lolled back. They are lost in exultation and joy. Who would believe that they would receive so wonderful a message, so lavishly presented? The shepherds are outcasts, despised and rejected by society, and yet they hear the message from the angel. They experience great joy. They are included in God's kingdom. We glimpse delight and sheer wonder in this moment. Can we sense their joy? Joy changed their perspective. God is the source of our joy. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering, but is the presence of God. C.S. Lewis came a bit closer to the biblical meaning of joy when he called it an unsatisfied desire which itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. He went on to write that joy must be sharply distinguished both from happiness and from pleasure. And ultimately, he experienced joy when he discovered that Jesus was the wellspring of all joy. I don't know if any of you have read his book, Surprised by Joy, but he finally concludes that once he became a Christian, seeking joy was actually no longer an important part of his life. Seeking joy was simply a pointer to something other and outer, that is God. Joy is God's gift to us. Joy is an inevitable overflow of receiving Jesus Christ as Saviour and knowing his continuing presence. Joy is contagious. It draws others to Christ. As joy grows in heart and mind, it infiltrates the soul and it moves outward to impact others. Part of our loving God, loving others mandate. Early Christian communities were known for being full of joy, even when they were persecuted. Are we known in this place for our joy? So how do we practice joy? How do we find joy? There's a known link between joy and gratitude. Joy takes a bit of work. We all have anxious times in our lives due to crisis or hurt or loss, and sometimes anxious times due to our own anxiousness. A part of anxiety is if only. In difficult times, there's a reminder of joy despite the pain and a call for joy to sustain and remain. There is a known benefit in taking each anxious thought and replacing it with a grateful one. Now, Jesus rejoiced and gave thanks to God, his Father, time and time again in the Gospels and Scripture. We develop a daily practice of recognizing joy. Now, earlier this year, I added joy to my daily journal. I have a practice of journaling. I read a song and I write out a few lines of worship. I read a portion of Scripture and I write out a verse or two, and then I ponder it and I write what I notice. I might write my questions. I journal how it applies to my life, my everyday lived experience, or where I've seen it in my life. And at times, these ponderings sort of end up bubbling up into my sermons, because if Scripture hasn't changed me, then I'm not really in a place to preach it. And then I follow with what I call the teaspoon prayer, TSP. Thank you, sorry, prayer. Or simplified, thank you, sorry, please. I journal what I'm thankful for, then my confession, and then my prayers for others. And earlier this year, I added joy. Where have I experienced joy in my life? Now, interestingly, what I found was that what I'm thankful for is often specific instances. Chat with Sean about ministry, or Joan's text, assignment submitted. That's always thankful for that one. Joan's text, walk along the beach, exhibition opening, or Margaret's encouragement. They're quite specific. But joy is much broader and includes words like smiles and laughter, encouragement, beauty in the sunset, beauty in the clouds, not alone, God's presence, I'm forgiven and a child of God. Can you hear here how the essence of joy seems to run much deeper? This daily practice of recognizing joy helps me to reflect on joy in my lived experience, to see God as the source of joy, and allows joy to stimulate my soul, my life. Bishop Tutu writes that gratitude is an extremely important part of joy because it allows us to savor life and to recognize that most of our good fortune in life actually comes from others. He suggests we practice gratitude daily at the end of our day, first by closing our eyes and reading three things from our day for which we are grateful. They can be anything, but try to be specific. And second, to write these things down in a journal. Writing them down has physical and emotional benefits over time. This seems to fit with the continuation of the Philippians 4 reading. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we've considered joy today. Joy in all circumstances, including struggles. Joy in everyday life. Joy changing our perspective. God being the source of our joy. And how we practice joy and recognize joy. John Capper describes God's joy as splashes of joy, even in the cesspools of life. A cesspool is not a place of beauty. It's an underground container for the temporary storage of liquid waste or sewage. It can represent a filthy and evil or a corrupt place. Either way, I love the picture of God's joy being expressed in splashes of joy, in the muck of our everyday lived experience. We look for pain to pass and joy to remain. God's joy splashes into our lives, and this is good news. The shepherds heard the words from the angel, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Do we hear the good news? This Advent, we open our eyes and our hearts. Joy awaits. Know joy. Taste joy. Seek joy. And wear joy. Let's pray together. Loving God, source of joy, we are thankful for joy. Joy that opens up our living, enriches the quality of our life. We are thankful of your taking joy in us. May we ever seek to find joy in others as you find it in us. May we ever continue to be a source of joy for you and others. We are thankful for the joy in creation, the wonder of the universe. May we ever seek to find joy in such wonder and in our part within it. May we ever continue to be a source of joy in our connections and relationships. Forgive us for when we're not. Forgive us when we don't find joy. When we aren't a source of joy to others by what we say, think, or do. And we thank you for the joy that our sins are forgiven, these things even, through Jesus' death on the cross for us. We are thankful for the joy of living, for the amazing potential that lies within us and before us, even in struggles and suffering, that joy can be found in aspects of life. What joy, Lord God, that you would join our existence as the Christ, being born as love, humbly as a child. May we ever seek to find moments of joy as we journey in life. Help us to journal our joy, to find the things in our lives where we can give gratitude. And may we ever continue to be that source of joy in our living and loving in this Advent. May we savor joy and give thanks for its source is you, and such a gift it is. In joyful thanks, we pray. Amen.